You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Good to have you with us. It's Sunday's edition of the podcast. We've got racing at Carlisle and Fairy House to bring you on Sunday. Racing Radio will be live from 12:10pm with Ollie Pimlott, joined by John Budden and John O'Connell for the day's action. Three Grade 1 races on the Fairy House card as well. And it's not a bad card over at Carlisle too. Unfortunately, we have lost Leicester due to the weather, but there's certainly plenty of quality going on Sunday, as indeed there was on Saturday. And a man who always brings up thoughts of quality. He's Ross Briley, who's alongside me. How are you, Ross?
Thanks, Sam. That's a lie, but I appreciate it.
Indeed. It is a lie, but it's good to make your pundit feel good, I think.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
In these situations.
No, I appreciate it.
Are you ready for the next 10, 15 minutes now that you've had that confidence boost?
Yeah. I was flagging, but you've really got the wind in my sails there. Thanks, buddy.
Good. Let's look back on Saturday first and foremost. Of course, the two big races of the day, as they always are at this time of the year, the Fighting Fifth at Newcastle and, of course, the Ladbrokes Trophy at Newbury. The first of those that we'll discuss is the Fighting Fifth, because what a thrilling renewal we had to that this year. Only five runners lined up, and Bouvardale was a short price, looking to make it three wins in succession. It looked a little bit cut and dry before the race, but it was anything but, with Cornerstone Lad getting a 8-9 length head start from the rest of the field early on, and an enterprising ride from Henry Brooke paid dividends as he was just able to turn away Bouvardale in a really, really thrilling finish. First and foremost, a heck of a ride and performance from horse and jockey with the winner, Cornerstone Lad.
Absolutely, yeah. Blinding performance. I mean, this horse has gone up to a mark of 148 over hurdles. So, I mean, Grade 1 was obviously another step forward for that. But it is such a poorly contested race usually. Connections probably thought, well, we've got a course and distance winner that stays and lights the ground. Let's have a go. And they had a proper go because Henry Brooke sent this horse out from the get-go. The two-miler on the flat. So they knew he had stamina reserves. But he's not just nicked it. He's found extra for pressure when challenged by Bouvardale, who's rated the best part of £20 superior. Now, Bouvardale had to make a big move to get on the heels of him. On the face of it, it looked like Henry Brooke had gone off too fast, but we'll have to, again, this is where sectionals come in, ideally, to see just whether Henry Brooke... it was a great ride by Henry Brooke, but I wonder whether the other jockeys thought, oh, he's going off too quick, and maybe he wasn't. Maybe it was a visual thing, because he did get a fairly soft 6 or 7 length lead early on. You got the feeling that everything else in behind was thinking, well, we'll just... You know, your Silver Streaks and your Bouvardales were taking this for the run. But for Henry Brooke and Mickey Hammond, you know, that's the aim for them, isn't it? And it's paid off beautifully for them. And to be fair, you couldn't entirely put them off going to, say, a Haydock. It could be similarly bad ground, and those tactics will also work.
Yep.
I mean, if Cornerstone Lad ends up winning a couple of graded races this year, you'd think he'd gone mad at the start of the season, but fair play to them.
Yeah, it was beaten on the flat off a mark of 65 in the spring at Carlisle, so a heck of a performance. And as you rightly point out there, it's not just the fact that he's obviously had a soft lead and has made all. He's then had to beat Bouvardale again properly on the flats when they come over the final obstacle. Sometimes when a horse tears away from the field like that and makes all, we end up with a bit of an unsatisfactory result. But it's hard to crab him too much, really. There will be some people who will question Barry Geraghty, I'm sure. There were some people who thought he got it wrong on Champ on Friday, and that Champ rather bailed him out, and he nearly got Champ beat there. What would you say to those? And I'm sure there are many who think he could have gone a bit earlier.
Yes, I guess he could have done, but in his head, he timed it to perfection.
Yeah.
Because he's actually gone half a length up. Yep. So,
should he have gone later?
I think he was just caught a bit by surprise by the resolution of Cornerstone Lad. But then Everybody was. So, I don't know. I'd find it hard to crab the ride. Because he's finished well ahead of Silver Streak and Lady Buttons, his two main rivals. He's gone ahead. He's not, like I said, it's not Cornerstone Lad. He's not gone, oh yeah, we missed him there.
Yeah.
He's thrown down a challenge and he's not had the resolution to go by. Or the fitness, that could have been it.
Yeah, true, absolutely. And it would be easy to imagine that he'd come into this half-cooked because the opposition just wasn't really there. They might have felt they didn't need to get him A1 to win this race.
Well, yeah. And that's where Mickey Hammond and Henry Brooke have exploited that potential complacency.
Certainly so. From a small field then to obviously a very big field for the Ladbrokes Trophy. Won this year by Darasha Counter, who saw off 23 other rivals to claim victory. There's been a bit of talk, I suppose, coming into the race this year in the fact that over the last couple of years, the quality of this race and the quality of runners that line up had perhaps not been what it once was. Everybody, of course, you know, harks back to the Denmans et al. But I thought it was a good renewal of the race this year.
Well, what it is now is a proper handicap. It's not
yes. a you don't get graded
stone.
Perform, but then generally,
well, I suppose Native River.
Yeah, I suppose so. But proper Grade One horses don't tend to turn up in any handicaps anymore. Really.
Well, there's not many. There's not many kind of your Native River. There's not many horses of this nature that will be able to bestride the two.
Yeah, true.
And Darasha Counter, I mean, you know, Elegant Escape and is a horse who comes up short in Grade Ones but loves these kind of races, and he's run another blinder. Didn't jump as well as he normally does, but he's run on for third. If he'd have been a bit more prominent, he might have won, or he might have gone a little bit closer.
It's arguably a little bit short of his optimum as well, really, having won the Welsh National last year. He just wants extreme tests of distance, doesn't he? Really?
He does, and he's just one of those horses who never runs a bad race in these kind of contests. But Darasha Counter is another one. What people tend to do is they tend to crab horses who, they look back at those races and they go, oh yeah, that was where the horse took a step forward. But what's also been noticeable this year, these last couple of days at Newbury, has been horses who've run the track well in the past and have come back and really taken to the course. And that, of course, goes for Darasha Counter, who two runs at Newbury are a close-up second in Novice Hurdle Company and a win in a handicap chase. So you're right. I mean, this time last year, he was winning here at Newbury off a mark of 1.33 in a 7 grand contest. But since then, he went on and, he bolted up at Uttoxeter in terrible ground off a mark of 140. And the best thing, I mean, today, he was given a perfect ride. He was right there in the van, just behind the leaders, and he jumped fluently enough for him. He's 7 years old. He was only a novice last year. He's still unexposed. And it's hard with horses like that to weigh up just how good they are, because they can improve half a stone quite quickly.
Absolutely. Caps a really good couple of days for the MLFL team as well. Of course, had Paisley Park winning on Friday and Darasha Counter landing this year's renewal of the Ladbrokes Trophy. We'll turn our attention on to Sunday's action. We've got a couple of races at Carlisle to get the full preview treatment, but it would be remiss of us not to at least mention the Fairy House card, where there is a really, really good day of racing. Three Grade Ones on the programme, Ross, and there's plenty of interest in all of them. We won't give these the full preview treatment as we will Carlisle, as I know you've had a better look at Carlisle. But starting in the 1 o'clock, the Royal Bond, all eyes really are going to be on Envoy Allen here and whether he can continue his, impeccable career so far.
Well, actually, I mean, if you're stepping back half an hour as well, I'm a little bit interested in
The
A Wave of the Sea.
Oh, the Joseph O'Brien runner. Yes.
That's always a good juvenile hurdle, so it's worth having a look at A Wave of the Sea in that. You're right. The Royal Bond Envoy Allen is what, 4-6?
Yep.
Or there or thereabouts.
I think he's 4-5 actually at the time of recording.
Did a
he is 4-6.
Did what is he? 8-11.
All right. Okay. Neither of us are right.
Progressed really, really nicely last year, obviously. And his grit and determination were the things that were so impressive with him. So the fact that he's they're throwing him in at the deep end fairly quickly in his hurdles career is the only thing I'd be slightly concerned about. But he is a very classy horse. This is his first proper test, and there are some interesting horses against him, so I don't know. I think he's short enough, if I'm honest. But what you want to take him on with exactly is the question. Even the likes of Fastbook and Darva Star have got good figures coming into it. So I don't know. Maybe a little bit skinny for my blood.
Okay.
On the back of his. But he's, again, you don't quite know how good he's over hurdles yet. So
the Drinmore is going to be billed as one of the sort of big clashes of the day between Sam Crow and Fakir du Derry. Sam Crow seemingly back to form after a disappointing season last year. Obviously got the win at Down Royal last time around. And Fakir du Derry beat an odds-on chance in the shape of Melon on Chase debut. It's not just a two-horse race, but lots of people will be hoping that, that those two are side-by-side coming over the last...
I don't. I hope Ronald Pump is on the heels of the front two. But I agree, it is a potentially... Well, those three jump in the last would be fascinating. I prefer Fakir du Derry. I think he was a little bit unlucky at times last year. You know, he's 4 years old, but he looked much more experienced last time out over fences. Sam Crow, again... He's obviously not lived up to the billing that he was given of... A few years ago, I mean, people were expecting the second coming, weren't they?
But they were, yeah.
Last year didn't go to plan whatsoever. His return to action was much smoother at Down Royal. Won very easily in a weak contest. He will be put under the pump here today
by Ronald,
I think, yeah. Potentially. Who, again, was just a horse who's progressed really, really nicely. But the main thing for him, this horse has won his last three starts here at this track with progressively better speed figures and better ratings. Won a big field handicap hurdle back at the Irish Grand National meeting earlier in the year, and then absolutely bolted up last time out, earning this horse a definite chance in this grade. So yeah, I really liked that performance, and that the course form, I think, of Ronald Pump is the thing that makes him a little bit interesting. So yeah, it is a fascinating contest.
Speaking of course form, the Hatton's Grace Hurdle comes up at 2:40. Obviously, a grade one over 2.5 miles. A race dominated by Apple's Jade. The last 3 years, she's been successful in this contest. Is 11-4 second favourite to win it for a fourth year in succession. Of course, the small matter of the unbeaten Honeysuckle is in the mix as well at 15-8.
Not to mention Bacardi's and Penhill as well.
Indeed, yeah. Bacardi's beat Apple's Jade last time around. Penhill, of course, is not a horse that we see loads of, but when we do see him, he's usually thereabouts. Apple's Jade, obviously beaten by Bacardi's last time around. Disappointing effort, and her form kind of tailed off a bit toward the end of last year. But she has reserved her very best for Fairy House. She absolutely destroyed the field last time around.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And it's a fascinating race with loads of horses who like you said, who are in the mix. Apple's Jade, again, there was a period where she almost seemed invincible, where you could run her in anything, yep, from a 2 or 3 mile, 2.5, anything you could put her in, she would run with credit. But I do think Honeysuckle's a lovely horse, and this is, I'm really looking forward to seeing her get tested, because so far she's seemed very, very talented, but you haven't had anything that's really been grade one quality. But she's up against three grade one horses today, and she has the chance to prove that she's not just a horse who's been mopping up weak mares races, which I really don't think she is.
Right.
So Honeysuckle is I think the most interesting horse on the Fairy House card on Sunday, because so far she's looked something a little bit special.
And just because I like making you do lots of work, Carlisle, 12:20 and 2:20, two races that you've picked out. Talk us through a double, hopefully, in these two Carlisle races.
Yeah, I mean, the best bet on the Carlisle card, I think, is Curramore in the first.
Yep.
Really liked the way he won at this track last time out. He'd been running in half-decent races behind the likes of Elvis Mayle and then at Perth behind Rakeen State, but he got badly outpaced down the back straight at Carlisle, at a track that you really want to be on the speed most of the time over the hurdles track, and he absolutely shot home in a strong speed figure in identical conditions to what he's going to get on Sunday. I thought that was very likeable. Yeah, hopefully he'll be able to do a very similar thing. Conditions should be spot on for him. So I think Curramore into a handicap for the first time is very interesting. And then in the 2:20, going to be, I'd say, fairly short. It's actually quite a competitive race. Just the Tenors in good nick. Frankie de Burleigh was only run down late at Foss last. 190 Milan's in good form as well. But I thought Perfect Man's win at Chepstow was the best piece of form on offer last time out in soft ground. Was hampered at a crucial point, but still had the wherewithal to come through and win. And the third, Good and Hardy, followed up next time out to frankly give the form a bit of a boost. So I think that form looks good. So Curramore in the 12.20 and Perfect Man in the 2.20.
Thank you very much. Good stuff. Lots to go at then across the two meetings on Sunday. We're live on Racing Radio from 12.10. Ollie Pimlott will be alongside John O'Connell and John Budden. Ross, thank you very much for that. A pleasure to talk to you as always.
Shake my hand, Sam Norris.
Enjoy the action.
I will.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.